Hi, today is August 21st, 2022. I almost said 2021, not sure why. I'm Taro Gasawara. This is Mobius Podcast, something or other, 420. And good friend John Westfall, and for the first time in a long time, didn't realize Sven Johansson had not been on since last November in 2021. So Sven, welcome back. Good to have you.
Thank you.
And so we are, if we seem a little off kilter, Microsoft Teams has been behaving weirdly over the last 2 weeks for John and me, where last week, I think John couldn't see anything. Now I can't see anything. And none of the three of us can see anything in our video feeds unless we minimize the Teams client. And then...
Yeah, it doesn't even work for me.
Yeah, then sometimes it works. I think it works on a Mac. It doesn't work on Windows. So the main takeaway here is that the personal Teams, and I've had an issue on Mac for the last month or so, that every time I try to go from my work account to my personal account, it keeps retrying to authenticate, and then I have to sign out of my personal account and then sign back in. So yeah, Teams is just having a big problem with Mac and personal accounts. And Don mentioned that actually last week.
Yeah,
that there is, you know, well documented issues on this, which is extremely annoying.
Yeah, well, pretty soon I won't have to switch. I'll just be on personal full time. So. What is it now? 4 more months? Something like that.
If you give me approximately, you know, maybe, I don't know, 5 more seconds, I can tell you that you will be retiring in 124 days, 5 hours, 11 minutes, and 2 seconds.
There you go. It's getting there. All righty. At any rate, good to have Sven back for the first time since November of last year. It's been a long time. So, Sven, you always buy new toys. What have you bought in the last 9 months?
I have picked up a set of Pixel Buds Pro.
Those are brand new, and right?
Yes, and the 24-inch iMac with an M1 in it.
Oh, nice. So tell me about the Pixel Buds Pro. That came out, I think that was released, in July? So just a month ago or so?
Yeah, just very recently. I ordered them way ahead of time and about as soon as you could, and then waited for them to show up. They were kind of interesting in the beginning. It's a personal problem, so probably most people won't have that. I was running I have a Pixel 6 Pro, and I was running the betas on it. And when I connected the Pro Buds, it didn't do any of the things that they were supposed to do. It just, they came up like a pair of $35 Bluetooth earbuds. And I just, you know, I unpaired them and repaired them and, you know, reset the phone and did all kinds of stuff and never did get it to work quite right. So I figured, that's probably got something to do with the betas on it, even though it was the final beta.
Yeah.
This week, I think it was Wednesday, I got the release version of Android 13.
Yeah.
Repaired these things and they're absolutely beautiful.
No kidding.
So it was absolutely the beta that the was beta. Doing it.
Yeah.
So one of those things that you get a, you know, they say, you know, if you don't, you know, if you need your stuff, don't run betas.
Yeah.
They're right.
Yeah. Well, you could use them. You just couldn't use them the way you wanted to.
Yeah. They had sound and stuff like that, but they didn't have all the neat transparency. Well, they actually did have the transparency and noise blocking, and you could change between them. But you couldn't see that in the phone interface or anything.
Yeah.
So you just, you know, tap and hold the bud and it would switch between the two and you could tell. They're pretty darn good. I would recommend them, especially if you have a Pixel, smartphone.
Yeah.
I have no idea how they work with, an Apple or a Samsung or something like that. But they do work very nicely with it.
So what, do they have any special features if you use them with a Pixel phone?
I don't know if the features translate across, but they certainly have, they're Google's answer to the iPod or AirPods Pro.
Yeah.
AirPods Pro. So they do have noise cancellation, 3 modes. They have, transparency, and I don't recall if that's what they call it. I can take a look here real quick.
And while you're doing that, my other question is, can you control volume just from the...
Yes.
How do you do
from the buds itself?
Yeah, how do you do that? It's like a gesture or something?
They're really small, but they just swipe forward and back. Forward is increased volume, back is decrease. It's a swipe. Okay. You can do it on either earbud. You can single tap to pause and play or answer a phone call, double tap to skip forward and triple to skip back. Tap and hold to change the whether you're in transparency or let me see what they call them here.
Yeah, I got to ask John while you're looking that up.
Sure.
John, do you know if we can can we adjust volume on our AirPods Pro? I've never looked it up.
No, you have to ask Siri to do it.
That makes no sense.
You can get extremely specific at least, because you can give any percentage between 0 and 100, and Siri will put it there. So if you've ever said 37% is where I want to be, not 35 or 40, right. I mean, you got that going for you.
But if you're in the middle of a conversation, you got to go talk to an invisible friend to modify your volume rather than just
reach in your pocket, and, you know.
Yeah.
Use the like an animal. Up and down.
Like
or
an
use
animal.
Your Apple Watch. Like
The crown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
I always forget that.
Yeah.
But and I'm surprised that they actually call it noise cancellation off and transparency, the same thing that Apple calls it.
Which kind of makes
transparent.
Sense, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I there's no little R behind it, so there's transparency isn't a registered trademark or something.
Right, right. And I assume it does pretty well with Google Assistant and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And you can set it up so that, the right one goes between transparency and noise cancellation, and the left one activates the Google Assistant. Or you can just say whatever, Google.
Yeah.
I
mentioned it to John in the past. You know, I was very curious about the Pixel Buds Pro, by the way. Not enough to actually spend $200 on them, but I was very curious. And Google actually had an offer for current Pixel phone owners to upgrade to a Pixel 6a and get a free pair of the older Pixel Buds Amateur. But I didn't jump on that.
You sort of got three versions here.
Yeah.
You get the original, so you get the Pixel Buds 2.
Mm-hmm.
Really call that, and then the pros now.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get the originals. You can't get the originals anymore. You can't even get replacements for the originals.
Oh, it must be the 2 year old.
I know
it wasn't the pro. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it was not the pro, but I was just going to mention that, you know, for a non platform specific earbuds, after being initially disappointed by the Echo Buds when I bought them. Like two Amazon Prime days ago, last July, I've really come to appreciate them. I think I mentioned it to John, and specifically because they work fine with everything, and even the A word works fine with when I'm on an iPhone. So, must admit, or an iPad more usually is what I use my Echo Buds with, and they're only I think I paid like $80 for them. So. That said, they don't have good noise cancellation. They have it, but it's not as good as the AirPods Pro or presumably the Pixel Buds Pro. Are they pretty comfortable?
Yeah, they are. They are pretty good. I kind of missed the little wing on it. The first two versions had that little wing that pops in there.
Yeah.
And that always seemed to... I didn't notice it there, but it did seem to make it hang in there a little better.
Yeah.
Now I'm not a runner or anything like that, so I don't stress them as far as falling out of my ears. But
my Echo Buds and my AirPods Pro fall out of my ears just walking out and turning my head right or left. So
yeah,
I haven't had a good problem
with that.
Yeah.
So I absolutely did not on the first two.
Yeah.
I never had much of a problem until one of my cats ate one of my. You can replace the sizes on the AirPods Pro, so I now have one that's the medium and one that's the small.
Right. The silicone
other day,
tip. Yeah, the ear tips.
Ear tips. And because I figured I'm not going to buy a new set, I'll just wait until the next generation of AirPods Pro, and then I'll get a new set that way that'll match. Last week I did have one fall out of my ear while I was eating fried chicken, and that was really annoying because wasn't easy to get it back in my ear. I had to wipe my hands off, all those things.
First world problems. Yeah,
I think you can get replacement. You can get replacement tips from
you can
from Apple, certainly. Yeah,
I was just being cheap.
Yeah, and, but you got to pay for them.
So on
my original set of Google Buds, the left one quit working altogether. And the reason I know you can't get replacements is I spent a good amount of time with Google, and they would have been happy to replace it, but they don't exist anymore.
Oh,
so. Mm.
Well, and that's sort of like we have to remember that AirPods Pro have been out long enough now that there were some gremlins with AirPods Pro when they came out, and both of my AirPods, the right and left, have been replaced since I originally got them.
I remember
the only
that.
Thing I have left that's original is the charging case.
Okay. I just had a little problem. I was trying to get these things paired with the Pixel Buds Pro paired with my Chromebook just to see how well, because they're supposed to have that clever switching thing, not quite as clever as Apple's, but be able to watch a movie on your Chromebook and then have it paired to your Pixel and it pick it up when you get a phone call and stuff like that, or connect to whichever it is that's producing sound at the moment seamlessly. But I had a heck of a time getting them paired to my Chromebook, which was an interesting thing. Apparently, I got a little dirt in the right side charging case, and my right side earbud bud just totally died. It's totally out of power. And I could not pair them in that condition.
Wow.
The minute I stuck my finger in there and got that little dirt off there, and then the bud connected,
right.
Instant pairing.
What?
But it's still not as seamless as Apple's, where I pair the AirPods to the phone, and then every other Apple device I know already knows about them.
Right. You know, right.
I used to actually do have to pair them to something else.
Hey, are you using your Pixel Buds Pro right now to record this podcast?
No, I'm actually on a Logitech wireless headset.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, man, sound quality is really good. I mean, the microphone quality. And most of them don't have them. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I didn't pair these things to the Windows PC. That I did load Teams on my Chromebook, but I didn't get it done in time. And that's a mobile version of Teams.
I got to say that, so I've been running the Android version of Teams on my Chromebooks for a while now. And it was I guess this is a PG podcast. It was crap for the longest time.
How do you really feel, Todd? Use the strongest language you want.
But recently, in the last couple of months, I don't know which release it was, but the Android version of Teams on a Chromebook looks exactly like the fat version, or I guess Electron version of Teams on Windows PC or Mac for that matter. So it looks really good. I mean, it looks exactly the same. Whereas previously it was like, what do I click to do this? You know, how does this work? Hated it. So
yeah, I was actually thinking about using the iMac for this thing today, but I didn't have anything set up right for it.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
The one thing I was wanting to try, and I've tried it before and it looks great, is this new Continuity camera. Of course, I'm running betas on my iPhone and my iMac. So, but Continuity Continuity camera, where you can use your iPhone camera as the camera for your.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that looks good.
Really?
At least locally. I don't know if it looks good at the other end, but you can absolutely, because you can switch between the camera that's in the iMac and the iPhone. It's, just check a box and you can absolutely see the difference. It's kind of gorgeous because you're using the back cameras. You're not using the front FaceTime camera. You're using
right.
Actual.
The good camera.
Three port. The good cameras on the back. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Well, I forget where.
But since we're not getting video anyway, so.
Yeah.
I forget where it came out, but that was basically out of necessity internal to Apple. When they were in pandemic mode, they developed continuity cameras so that they could, communicate with each other, and then thought, "Oh, this is a good enough feature that we could release it out in the wild."
Yeah, I'm not surprised at that, to be honest with you, because up until the latest Apples or MacBooks or whatever, their cameras were nothing to write home about. Put it that way. The newer ones, they're at least up to 1020, 1080.
So. Yeah, I got to admit that I'm using when did I buy this thing? A 2019 MacBook Pro, so it's Intel based. And I have a Logitech camera sitting on top of it, even though that's a built-in.
The newer cameras are pretty good.
Yeah.
But they're still not the back of your iPhone camera.
So I'm kind of intrigued. Now, didn't you also buy a Mac Mini M1 earlier?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
And I
still have that.
Oh, okay.
And
okay,
I did buy an M1 MacBook Pro.
Nice.
Must be nice. I'm really jonesing for an Air. The new Air.
So did you buy the M1 based iMac for something specific, like video editing, or just because
you need the
new Mac iMac?
I've got, I think, the second lowest end one of these things.
Ah.
It's just fun to play with, and it's green. I got the green one.
It's green?
It's green, yeah. So, as a matter of fact, the base of the keyboard is green, the bottom of the mouse is green,
what?
The base of the touchpad is green, so it's
Apple's
all green.
Apple's gone crazy. They've gone.
Oh, you haven't seen
colorful.
That?
No.
Take a look at the iMac colors. They come in like six colors.
I will.
There's orange and yellow and red and blue.
Yeah.
So, they're really pretty. I will say something to people that are thinking about it.
Yeah.
If you buy these things as a package, and I bought it from Apple,
right?
Because I found out if you buy it from like Amazon, you can't add things to it and get them in green. They don't sell the colored accessories.
No kidding.
At all. So if you bought the iMac from Amazon, you could get the mouse and the keyboard, but you couldn't get the touchpad.
Wow.
In green. So I bought it from Apple. Same prices, essentially.
Yeah.
So, even now, if I wanted, if I had bought the normal package with keyboard, mouse, and iMac,
right,
I couldn't go back to Apple and get a green touchpad.
Hmm.
They don't sell it. You got to buy it as a package. So beware. If you think you ever want one of the other things,
yeah.
In Apple, you can buy you can buy the keyboard, touchpad, and iMac, or keyboard, mouse, and iMac, mm-hmm. or the whole group of three.
Mm-hmm.
So I splurged and got the... Even the little charging cable that comes with it is green.
They've gone crazy. So, they're coloring everything.
USB-C to Lightning to charge these things.
My goodness. Gee, I kind of remember when, Apple, you could get, basically one color, off-white.
Yeah. Well, back in the day, you had the old... what did they call them? They were iMacs at the time, but they were colored ones. The ones that had CRT screens.
Oh, the yes, the from original? The 1990s.
Yeah, the original.
The original.
Yeah.
Oh, the one that were shaped like a they're weird looking, but they're colorful. I remember that. They're orange and blue and.
Yeah, and they had a kind of handle on the top.
Yeah.
Kind of embedded in it.
Yeah. I forgot about those.
Purple ones and lime green.
I forgot that.
This is a real subdued green.
Yeah.
And it's three-toned. Actually, the band on the front at the bottom is a very soft green, and then it's kind of a metallic green for the stand, and the back is really green.
Sven, I've known you like 20 years, I think, or pretty close to it, and I never knew you had such an aesthetic sense about you.
My current car is a lime green Kona. Hyundai Kona.
Oh, boy. I did not know this about you. See, you learn stuff about friends every day. Something new every day. Oh, boy. And do you notice? I mean, I can't notice anything about speed anymore because everything to me is fast these days, except my old Chromebook. But is there anything that you've noticed between, say, the iMac... M1 and Mac Mini M1 that's significantly faster, better, whatever?
No, not really. They seem pretty. It's, I mean, I've got the original M1 iMac.
Mm-hmm.
First one came out, again, kind of the lowest end. Because I just play with them.
Mm-hmm.
But they seem pretty equivalent. I did have a problem with the M1. Not really with it. I have mm-hmm. a Dell USB-C monitor.
Right.
That I had it hooked up to. It just wouldn't really work the way you'd expect it to. You couldn't just hook the USB-C to the monitor and have all the stuff that was hooked to the monitor work. Somebody recommended on a forum, I hooked the USB-C to the monitor, and it picked up a keyboard, mouse, Logitech thing stuck in the monitor, that little dongle, and the Ethernet off the monitor and stuff like that. But it wouldn't get the video right. So he said, just hook the video up with HDMI and hook the USB up with USB-C, and everything worked that way.
Yeah.
So it was two cables, which was fine for it. It sits there anyway. But, you know,
Yeah. Because you're once and done. So, yeah.
But that same monitor works fine on the Dell. Everything I've got hooked to it. I plug in one cord. It charges the Dell. It picks up the Ethernet, picks up the keyboard stuff. It picks up the camera that's, you know, connected to the monitor, picks up the little speakerphone bar that's connected to the monitor. So all that stuff works.
But, hey, I should note.
Right. Speaking of Dell monitor and a Dell PC. So
yeah. speaking of monitors and Dells, this is not mine. It's at work. But I think I mentioned to John a while back that I got really sick and tired of really terrible hybrid meeting configurations where I could see part of a physical whiteboard but not the rest, and I couldn't hear people and all of that. So at work, I bought a Dell 75-inch touchscreen with a Logitech small conference system, and it is working great. I mean, you can hear everybody. They can hear you. There, you know, you can use the Microsoft Whiteboard and all of that. It's really nice. And it's well, you know, 75-inch. It's big. Mm-hmm. You do have to use a stylus. I don't remember if you can use a finger. Maybe they just don't want you to use fingers because of, you know, it's not oleophobic or whatever, but it's. I'm going to miss it when I retire. It's been kind of fun to play with.
Yeah, and things just kind of happen. I mean, when I had the Mac Mini over there, and they released the Mac Studio monitor, I really really wanted one of those to go with my Mac Mini.
Of course.
And I looked at it for 6 months, and then the thought hit me, you know, if I buy an iMac, I've basically got a Mac Studio monitor with a Mac Mini glued to it. And it's cheaper.
Is it?
Yes.
That's weird.
Yeah, so I got it, you know. So I did that, and I did not trade in the Mac Mini only because they give me $208 for it.
I know. It's like when Google made the offer for, well, not offer, you know, they sent out a marketing thing. For Pixel... Yeah. Pixel 6a with the free older Pixel Buds and, you know, trade-in. But when I looked at the trade-in, it said like, oh, yeah, we'll offer you $90 for your 4a. So I said, well, you know, I'll keep my 4a. It's kind of a good, you know, like a iPod Touch. They can hang around, which I do use around the house.
I looked at the 6A quite a bit. My wife was looking for an Android phone of some sort to play with. She's weird too, so that's why I get to do all this stuff. but I looked at the, because she doesn't have a problem with me. You know, she buys stuff too. But I looked at the 6A, and the only thing that bothered me about it is it didn't have wireless charging. Other than that, I jumped on that thing.
Yeah.
So I got her. We got her a 6.
Nice.
And. Speaking of trade-ins, if you like the phone company you're with, and AT&T is one of them, and that's who I'm on. When they have new stuff come out, like iPhones and new Pixels and stuff like that,
right?
They're tremendous in the way they do their trade-ins.
No kidding.
To get my 6 Pro, I traded in a 4XL. And got $800.
What?
Yes. That's the 4XL I bought off of what's the Amazon's, used to be somebody else.
Interesting.
I bought it for like 400 when I bought it. So I got $800. Now, the way AT&T does, the way AT&T does it, they amortize the that $800 over your 2 year thing. So each month I get a credit for part of that
for $20
$800. So my cost for my Pixel 6 Pro is about $3 every month. So I figured, I can't pass that up. So
You know, the other thing that's missing in the newer Pixels is I think the 4A, which is what I'm still using. The 4A, I think, was the last Pixel that Google Photos allows unlimited uploads from. So I'm kind of reluctant to give it up, but anyway. It has a pretty decent camera, you know, so.
I did, is it Google One? I think it's Google One.
So yeah, me too. I have Google One.
Doesn't that give you some more storage?
I think the one I have gives me 100 gigabytes extra. Oh, mine is 100 gigabytes extra because I pay for the cheap one, like $2 a month or something. Which is fine. You know, actually, that's quite a bit of space, but, you know, I'm cheap. And I'm getting ready to retire, so I'm trying to, like, pinch my pennies and, you know, not spend as much.
Well, you got rabbits to support, too.
So, So I'm, you know, I've been kind of thinking about what I'm going to buy. I am speaking of planning to buy. So allegedly, Apple is having an event second week of September to announce the new iPhone, right? And you gonna buy anything of the rumored new releases?
Right now, I don't think so. Mine's an iPhone 12.
Yeah.
Pro.
Yeah.
So this would be wife's got a 13.
Yeah.
So she Same doesn't think house. There's anything. She doesn't think there's anything that she's going to look for. AirPods, I'm pretty well set with that. I just got the iMac, of course. So that's there. iPad Pro, I've got. That's interesting too. The connectivity between the Mac, iMac, and the Pro is really kind of interesting. Because you can do two things now. One, you can use it as a secondary screen.
Yep.
But the other one is to be able to run the iPad as an iPad, but use the keyboard and mouse from the iMac.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like hooking a keyboard and mouse, but you just slide the cursor off the iMac over onto the iPad, and it changes to an iPad cursor.
Yeah.
And it's not a secondary screen. It's you're actually operating the iPad as an iPad.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting.
Right.
The way that works. But yeah, I don't know of anything that right now that has been rumored that it's going to make me say, oh, I got to have that.
Yeah, the two things I'm interested in.
Kind of holding out.
Yeah, the two things I'm interested in are the new AirPods Pro because, the rumor, one of the rumors is that it's going to do body temperature, which I find interesting. It's, you know, something John and I have been really interested in is, you know, getting more. You know, biometric information. And the other one that I'm really interested in is the new iPad Pro with the M2 processor.
Mm-hmm.
I've got what do I have? I have an iPad Pro 2020, I think. And it's got the, you know, it's got the older ARM processor, not the M1. So, and the new, you've got the M1, right? The iPad Pro
I do have the M1.
Yeah. So only the M1, M2 iPad Pros are going to be able to do the new advanced windowing features in iPad OS 15.
Yeah. Those are really interesting. I'm very impressed by that. Of course, I'm running
the beta. Yeah. How do you like that?
How do you like the advanced windowing? I was very impressed. I think people forget that it's an iPad. You know, and it's not really designed to be your workstation.
Right.
But what impressed me the most about it is they managed to do this multitasking windowing thing without you wanting to grab a mouse and a keyboard.
Mm.
And what I say that is I have my travel stuff is Surface.
Right.
And it's the foldable Surface type thing, not a laptop Surface.
Okay.
So... And I've got sitting at my couch where I normally, you know, look at mail and comics and stuff like that.
Right.
I have a Surface Go. It's a little tiny thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very fast, but I am constantly, when I comment on something, right, I'll swing that keyboard around to be able to use the touchpad and the keyboard.
Right.
I did not feel like when I was playing with the beta version of the iPad, I did not feel like, gee, I wish I had a keyboard and a and
interesting.
A I felt like everything I could do easily. Nobody likes to touch on type on a glass, but still, right, you know, it's there.
That's
but still, to be able to move Windows around and change between applications and stuff, I think they did a very good job. I think it's silly as hell on my iMac, but because it's not a touch screen and I do have
right,
a keyboard,
right,
so I don't need that stuff. But it does, you know.
It's interesting because you know,
if it's on one, you get custom used to using it. You might do it.
I think as a part of the Prime Day sale stuff I bought, I didn't buy a lot, but one of the things I bought in preparation for a new iPad Pro, M1 iPad Pro with advanced windowing feature, is I bought a new Bluetooth keyboard with a touchpad built into the keyboard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it was cheap. It was like $40 on Amazon Prime Day. Normally it's like $50, so, you know, I only saved $10, but hey. And I bought it. I haven't really used it much. I mean, it works fine with my, you know, my old ARM-based iPad Pro, but I really haven't used it much because I'm really waiting for the iPad Pro M2 to come out for me to, you know, spend some hard-earned dollars on to play with. I'm really glad to hear that I really don't need the keyboard now, though. I mean, I don't feel like I wasted money, but, you know, that's sort of interesting.
Well, I think if you're going to do a whole lot of stuff,
yeah.
You might. But if you're just doing the normal stuff, you've got a really good capability of having two or three apps open and remembering they're open without looking at the little dot at the bottom or something.
Yeah,
they're over there and they move in and out very quickly.
Because
you can know very quickly.
I gotta say that except for, you know, like short text messages or something, if I'm going to type more than 10 words, I often pull out a Bluetooth keyboard for my iPad or iPhone even, and, you know, start picking away at it because it's just so much better. But I'm really looking forward to this now. It's really interesting.
Yeah, it's nice, and you don't have to use it if you don't want to. So,
right,
you know, people that are upset about, you know, windowing and multitasking on iPad,
right,
don't use it. You know, yeah, you don't have to.
Okay, now my mini rant, as we head to the halfway mark of this thing, my mini rant is for those of you who use Google News, and I use Google News every day, news.google.com. I use Google News every day because it does a pretty good job of collecting, you know, news and showing it to me, has redesigned its UI, and I hate it. I mean, it is, you know, it's maybe it's because I have old eyes and it was designed by 24-year-olds or something, but it's just not as readable as the older, uglier design. Now, I admit the new design is prettier in terms of layout and all of that, but it's just harder to read. And I tried it, didn't like it, switched back to classic, and now Google News says, you know, you got to change. You got to change. Don't you want to change now? So 24-year-olds, you guys need to get some older people there with older eyes for these redesigns.
Well, I just wish we would have redesigns that were more functional versus more minimal. You know, for the last 5 or 6 years, the trend has been make it more minimal and cleaner, but yet functionality goes away.
Right.
And that's very frustrating for a number of reasons as well. So not only can you not always see it, it doesn't always do the same things that it used to do.
Right. And I've been complaining for years and years now, I mean, about what I call clueless UI, where they take away all the visual cues to give you clues about what to tap or click or whatever. And, you know, they gave us the hamburger menu, which, you know, after all these years, I'm finally used to it. And they gave us the waffle menu. But you know what I really like? I really like menus. with like, you know, icons I can understand and interpret separately from a waffle or a hamburger. And maybe even actual words in a language that I can actually read. Those are awesome.
The hamburger and the waffle just drop down the menu. So
yeah, but they're not intuitive. You know, when they first now they are, right? Now we all know what they're there for.
Is, if you think of it as three lines of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, this is, that's your text lines that are in the menu. So, but it's, you know, it's, you got to think of something. Otherwise we're, you know, otherwise we're still going to use floppy disks as the save icon. You
know. I think we should use, I like using a floppy disk as a save icon just to make young people all confused. Like, what, do you know what this is?
Yeah. And we, I think still, we still dial phones, so.
Yeah, and we should also have a tape as the icon for backups.
There you go. Yeah.
But at any rate, I should note, you know, our massive tape drives for the mainframe is finally going to go away since we've moved the mainframe to the cloud. And I was just happened to be looking at them, and there were like thousands and thousands and thousands of empty slots, and it was just a joy to see. But anywho, so that's my Google News rant. Still like Google News as a source of content, but boy, that new UI is just... I might have to get a bigger screen just to read it. But I usually read it on an iPad, and I don't want to get anything bigger than a, you know, 11-inch iPad. I did get a 13-inch... Lenovo Chromebook Duet 5, which is a 13-inch display, essentially a 13-inch tablet with a detachable keyboard. And wow, that thing is way too big as a tablet. It's a great screen. It's an OLED screen. It's great to look at. But yeah, I don't think I can deal with a 13-inch iPad. So I hope they still have an 11 when the new one comes out that's readable. All right. Now, John has a rant, it looks like.
Well, my rant is more, I wish that developers would think about the use scenarios for their products a little bit more than just on or off. And this applies to even open source products. So I use a piece of free software called TunnelBlick to connect to my OpenVPN server at home. And a feature that I wanted it to have that I was kind of shocked there was no feature was some sort of automation where if you were on certain networks, like a certain SSID, it would connect the VPN automatically. This is actually something you see in commercial VPN packages. Private Internet Service allows this, or Private Internet Access, the one that we've talked about in the past. So I thought, you know, when I'm at work, I'd like to have the connection to my home network up and running because sometimes I need to connect to resources at home. And I should mention it's a non-routed connection. It's not the default route. So it's really for me to just be able to connect to my home network things. And so in order to do this, I had to hack together a really annoying solution, a shell script that runs off of a cron job every 3 minutes to basically trigger a macOS shortcut, because getting the SSID from a shell script on a MacBook is a little bit complex because you've got to grep it out of an output. And that can get very annoying and not reliable if that output ever changes. And so it runs a macOS shortcut, which can see the network name. That's great, but TunnelBlick doesn't connect to shortcuts yet because why would they? Shortcuts has only been around for years, and the developers haven't decided to build it in. What they did decide to integrate with was AppleScript, which has been around much longer than, you know, than shortcuts. And when you go to their webpage and it says, well, how do I connect via a shell script? It basically says, oh, invoke the AppleScript interpreter and use our AppleScript interface.
Right.
So instead of doing all of this in a shell script, which would have been one way to do it, nice and simple, you know, check the network name, connect if you're on this network, and if you're not on this network, don't do it. It's literally using a shell script and then a macOS shortcut and then an AppleScript invocation. Can you thankfully shortcuts can invoke AppleScripts.
Can you invoke the base script as a normal user, or do you have to sudo to become root or something else?
You can do it as a normal user.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But I also, for VPN connection work, I also have shell scripts that do things that I would like the client to also do, but they're more edge case. I have a VPN connect trigger and a VPN kill switch that I can toggle remotely by checking for a file on my web server. And if that file's there, you know, it can connect. So this is my little way of when I can't directly connect to my devices because they're behind firewalls, I can make them look for instructions from me. You know, my little command and control instructions in a sense. So I understand that that's a edge case scenario that not many people are going to care about. But it does seem like some form of automation of if you're on this network, connect this VPN would be nice, and not have, especially nice if I didn't have to hack it all together. So
yeah.
All this to say, if you are in a similar boat and you want to hack this stuff together, then shoot me a message and I will send you my convoluted, strange settings.
Are you going to put it on your web, on your blog?
I might. I have done, you know, I was looking at my blog the other day, and yeah. one of the surprising articles that still gets a good amount of reading is how to automate a telnet session. Because that apparently is something that if you need to do it, not many people are going to tell you how to do it. And years ago, I had a APC power unit in my home network that I was using to remotely reboot things every mm-hmm. night, and I had to automate telnet, and automating telnet is tricky, but you can do it all through one cron job if you know how to do it, because you're echoing basically in reverse order of what you want it to do. So I guess there are still people out there doing really strange things that I can help them with.
Yeah, it is interesting.
What, just tuning in, this is not the Linux show. This is
every now and then it does become the Linux show.
There is nothing more mobile than trying to use a command line interface over a, you know, on a small device. I mean, that is mobile, I think.
Hey, speaking of a Linux show, Swin, you buy everything, so I assume you've got a couple of Raspberry Pi 4s lying around.
No, I do not.
What?
Not at all.
I am genuinely shocked and dismayed.
No, nothing like that.
At any rate, I mentioned to John the other week.
I even like the way that Apple kind of insulates me from that underpinning.
I mentioned to John the other week that Raspberry Pi 4 specifically is going to get a port of Fedora Linux pretty soon, official port of Fedora Linux. Mm-hmm. So you can use that as an option instead of the default distro that is specific to the Pi. But at any rate, something to do in my retirement. I've got I've bought multiple Raspberry Pis.
They have the Windows subsystem for Linux.
Yeah.
That you can turn that on. Mine aren't. Yeah.
You know, I did have it turned on for a while because it was so nice to have a shell to use. And I'm not a PowerShell, you know, user. So it was just easier to use something I already knew how to script versus learning PowerShell. I learned it a bit when it was still called Monad, I think. Weird name. But I haven't really used it in years, so. And whereas the other stuff, you know, I can do bash shells and C shell stuff in my sleep. So, but anyway,
might be able to do some of that in my nightmares. But
but yeah, maybe we should do a Linux show. You know, Linux on Windows, Linux on Mac, Linux is everywhere these days. It's pretty amazing. Linux on a Chromebook, which I had to turn off because it was using too much of the limited storage space on my Chromebook, and I couldn't update it at one point. I couldn't update the Chromebook. Because Linux was using up too much space. Crostini was using up too much space, whatever it's called. So that got turned off and deleted. I deleted the container for it to recover a couple of gigs of space. But at any rate, it has been good talking to you again, Swin. It's been too long. We've got to do this way more often. We had Don on last week, so we need to catch up with all our friends. And maybe after the Apple event and stuff, we'll reconvene and see if you've changed your mind about anything interesting. I mean, additionally to what you've already bought.
Well, the only thing, I'm waiting to see what happens with the phone and the watch.
Yeah.
AirPods, I don't think I'm good with.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the...
the watch, yeah.
I've got the Max, too. I've got the AirPods Max, too, so yeah. I don't see anything that they're going to do. I can tell you, you mentioned the temperature sensing in the AirPods. I'm not sure I care about that. Wife keeps waiting for the watch to do blood sugar.
I'm kind of
telling her that's not happening anytime soon.
I think it was supposed to happen this release, but it's got delayed till, you know, another year.
Well, I've heard some, experimentation lab kind of stuff where they're looking at it through blood through the skin, just like they do the blood oxygen.
Right, right, right.
But all of those little reading, constant reading, diabetic thingies, all have a little wire that actually penetrates your skin to get into the blood or into the
like it permanently fluid penetrates your skin or.
Yeah, but it's a little tiny wire. Then and you do replace it and you do it yourself and it so you'd have to have something like this currently, I think, on the back of the watch that pokes you. And you don't notice it. I mean, but with the watch being taken on and off every day, the Dexcom, things like that you see on TV, they actually have a little something that pokes in internally. And it stays there for 2 weeks to 3 weeks.
I'm looking on Apple.com now, and there's something called the One Drop Blood Glucose. And like you said, it does have to penetrate the skin. It's not a IR or something, but it has a lancing device.
Yeah, and I've heard, I've heard some research being done on doing it like the blood oxygen, but yes. I don't think they're there. I don't think they're there yet well enough for something like this. You know, if your blood oxygen drops like crazy, you should probably go to the doctor. But
yeah.
But blood sugar goes up and down like crazy. It's got to be somewhat right, you know, not just a drastic change for it to actually be useful for diabetics.
Yeah, and so this is not recent, but let's see, what month is this? I think April of this year. Mark Gurman over in Bloomberg said that the highly anticipated blood pressure monitor on his smartwatch has hit some snags, isn't expected until 2024. And let's see, updated sensor and software. I thought I saw something about sugar in this article, too. Oh, yeah, here. Company also has teams working on non-invasive blood sugar monitoring to the watch, but this is still several years away. Yeah, so it's not
going to be this year. I'm pretty impressed by the blood oxygen because it's kind of odd. I live at 6,800 feet. Yeah. So it's low anyway up here.
Right.
But so I've got one of the finger things.
Right, me too.
Same kind of the use of the doctor's office.
Oximeter, yeah.
And it comes out pretty close, you know.
I agree.
Within a percent or two of the finger thing when I do it at the same time on the watch, so.
I've got one of those, I bought probably the same time you did. After COVID came out and they said that people, you know, have blood oxygen drop. You should, you know, you may have COVID. I bought one of those things, the oximeter. Yep. And so I've got one of those. And then my Fitbit later on, my Fitbit Charge 4, added an oximeter to it. I think it's only when I'm sleeping, though. And then, like you said, the Apple Watch has one. So, you know, I've got three sources for it. And, you know, so far, knock on wood, no COVID-19.
Yeah, I've also got a Motorola Moto 100 smartwatch. I'm wearing it now.
Motorola?
Yeah, it's a Motorola. It's not very expensive. It's a Motorola 100.
Yeah.
It's not a 360, but it's kind of nice. And I didn't even realize it, but it has a blood oxygen meter on it, too.
I miss my 360, by the way.
Yeah, I do, too. But, so I think that technology is pretty well solidified.
Yeah.
I think everybody's doing that. So.
Yeah, and it's funny. I remember a friend of mine at work, at a former job, like 2009 or so. A friend of mine at my then job was experimenting using an Apple phone 3 or whatever it was back then, using a camera, and he stuck it, pushed it right up to his fingertip and was able to get pretty decent pulse information.
Yes. I remember that.
Yeah. So at any rate, he never developed it much, and then some commercial ones came out. And then, of course, it was unnecessary because we had all kinds of other stuff to do, blood pressure, but... We still don't have one to watch, so hey,
yeah,
you know.
Blood pressure is kind of interesting too, because you kind of have to do both the diastolic and systolic, wherever those things are,
right?
Where it's under load or not under load, I guess is how I think of it,
right? But, as well as the pulse, so
I can imagine. Really I can imagine you're sitting around and all of a sudden your watch band starts to constrict your wrist, and then back off slowly. I don't know how to do that.
Like. Oh my God! Somebody's creasing my wrist. No, and I'm not even sure you can get a good reading from it because all of the cuffs are way up in the forearm. I mean, on the upper arm, right? In the medial part of the arm.
I've seen some people do it on ankles, I think, too.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah. Nice. Only because if they get a problem with their arms or something like that.
Yeah.
There's a place you can't. You don't want to do it around your neck. That's the
no. Yeah. Well, there are some people I think that'd be fine, but.
And you do your oxygen at the same time, and you realize that that's probably not a good idea.
Right. But speaking of the watch, you know, I've got a 6, so I guess I'm behind one gen, and I've only ever had 2 watches. I had a 3 and I had a 6. So I don't buy even every other, right? But yeah. If apparently there's going to be 3 models of Apple Watches coming out this fall, including something called a Pro, which is supposed to be gigantic and expensive, I assume.
Or not Sport that, or Rugged or
yeah.
Any one of the
so
other
ones. So I'll keep an eye on that. But definitely I'm interested in AirPods Pro if, A, they fit better. Probably not. And B, they... you know, they have like some more biometrics, and I am very, very, very interested in a new iPad Pro with an M2 in it, just to get the new features that you are making me jealous about.
Yeah, it's very, you know, it depends on what you do with it. I mean, you could probably get away with an Air.
Oh, well, you know, I've got like 3 iPad Pros now. So,
yeah.
But none of them have an M1 or M2 for that matter. So I
can't. I think the new Air will, if it doesn't.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You think, you know, I wonder if you'll have those new features.
And they're in colors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know you're going to get a
green one. Other than gray and silver. And, you know.
Yeah, but see, I've been really happy with gray and silver.
I am too. I
so I have no, plus all of them get a case anyway, so I never see them again. Same with my phone. You know, people go, I want this color phone. You'll never see it a color again. You know, unless you get a clear case, but oh well. Or I guess Apple's now saying you don't need a case, right? So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see.
But you do need Apple Care.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
So when that lack of case bites you.
All righty, Swin. We'll get you back much sooner than 9 months from now. Maybe after September 7th.
I'll try to put more stuff in there because I've got a few things that I've bought lately that, you know, just little accessory things that might be of interest.
Oh, those are always interesting. Accessories.
From Amazon, I got a Switch Easy Magnetic iPad Pro 12.9-inch stand. Hmm. But mine's, it works on any of the iPads that have, you know, magnets on the back.
Right.
It holds this thing like crazy. I mean, nothing knocks it off it. And it puts it about 5 inches off the surface of the desk. Right. So if you're using it with a keyboard and a mouse or something like that, it's like a little iMac.
So. And I'm thinking that, you know, except for recording podcasts, I hardly ever need a full computer anymore. So I'm really interested in using my iPad more widely than I do now. You know, I use it fairly narrowly now, I think. But I think in retirement, and I'm really thinking through this, you know, what happens next year? What do I use for my daily driver? Right now it's a Chromebook for just anything that needs more than a couple words typing. Or like I said, I pull out a keyboard if I use my iPad. But the Chromebook is still a much better, you know, desktop replacement, if you will, than an iPad is. But with better windowing and multitasking, who knows? Well, I guess I'll find out in a couple of months. I assume it'll be out by October or so. So,
yeah.
All right, Swin. Thank you so much for your time. It's great to talk to you. It's been way, 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 way too long. So, Mobile Views Podcast 420 with our good friend Swin Johansson. And we will talk to you next time.